We'd like to talk now about your courtship, your marriage. You said that you came back to Pittsburgh and were finishing school at the University of Pittsburgh because you had other interests.
Yes.
Start there.
Well, while I was still in high school, we used to go on Saturday afternoons to East Liberty, which was very nice then, and we'd go in groups and go to a movie, and then afterwards go to Reamer's for some ice cream. So I was in East Liberty with two other girls, and we were walking on Penn Avenue, and two boys came walking in the other direction, and we said hello in passing, and when I kept going, the next day, the one boy whom I knew, the other one, I knew who he was because he was so handsome, but I didn't know him, but I knew the boy he was with, and the boy whom I knew called me and said, there's somebody here who wants to meet you. He said that he saw you yesterday, and he said, I know the two on the end. Well, you see, I was with older girls because that's who I was in school with. But I don't know the one in the middle, and I'd like to. So he said, I told him that was easy. I knew you, and I would introduce you. Here he is. This is Albert Davis. So Albert came on the phone and said he'd like to make a date with me. Well, I couldn't make a date. I'd ask my mother. So I went to ask my mother if I could make a date with Albert Davis, and she said, well, I don't know him, but I know his mother. His mother was Mrs. Barnett Davis, and his oldest brother, Alan, is a good friend of ours, so I guess he's a nice boy. Tell him he can come over next Sunday afternoon. So next Sunday afternoon, Albert arrived. We had a date, and really from that time on, anything that would be going on that he had to ask anybody, he would only ask somebody else if I already had a date. I went out with other boys, and he went with other girls, but only if he couldn't get a date with me for the occasion.
And you were 17?
No, I wasn't 17.
Oh, yeah.
I was somewhat 14 or something that way.
You were still going to high school?
Yes, yes, yes.
And
yes.
How old was he at that point? Was he a little?
Well, he was older.
Was he going to school and in Pittsburgh at the time?
Yes. So,
you were 14. That's a different.
So, this kept up, and finally, we came home. I came home, and eventually we were married.
Now, let's go back. Now, you came home, and you finished at Pitt, and then you were married right
before I
graduated. And when you were first married, you lived where?
My mother still had this large house, and at that time you didn't like your mother to be alone and that, and we just lived right there.
Well, your father had died.
Oh, my father had died.
Before?
Yeah.
I see.
What year did you get married, Laura?
24.
So you lived with your mother in the Bishop of Arkansas?
Yes, yes.
And can you tell us something about your early married life? Your husband was employed, or?
Well, he was in the Barnett Davis Diamond Company.
Diamonds?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And he was there until, at the age of 29, he was in a very serious auto accident and had a basal skull fracture, was never well the rest of his life. In fact, right after the accident, I was told that 999 out of 1,000 with the same injury die within 10 days after the accident. If they survive for 10 days, live, they're never well, which he was not. But through sheer willpower and determination, he was left with double vision, and he walked with a cane. One day he said to me, "I'm not going to use this cane anymore." Well, I said, "If you think that you can get along without the cane, fine." And he never used the cane again. And he used to go out, and he'd fall over on the street. Every taxi driver in town knew him, and he'd fall over, and they'd pick him up and bring him home. But he was a marvelous example. In fact, when he died, this was what Dr. Freehoff said. And he lived, and we had a very full, very happy life until he died at the age of 53.
So from the age of 29 till the age of 53,
he was a semi-invalid. He never was able to work for that. But he always kept himself busy. He was always gardening or making things. He studied painting and did some beautiful work, and everybody always loved being with him because he was good company. And
that says something about you too, then, if your husband was
quite an example.
Did you work at all?
Well, for a short time, yes. I had a very fine, I do say so, a very fine gift shop. I carried very fine handmade, custom-made lingerie. I carried antiques and old silver.
When was this? When your child was
right after the accident? George wasn't 3 years old when his father was hurt.
And that's when you opened
it was
the
very
shop.
Hard for George.
Yes.
Very hard way for a youngster to grow up.
Yes, indeed. Where was the gift shop?
I converted one room of the house and had it right there.
Now, your child was born, you have one child?
Yes.
And when was he born?
In 1928.
And his name is George?
George Adolf Day.
And he grew up, you always lived in the house on Beecher Boulevard.
Until he graduated from high school. And then Albert and my cousin decided that the big house was too much for me. I had not been well. And it really was like, at that time, help was becoming very hard to get. You know, after the war, you couldn't get very much help. But I really didn't have enough help to handle Hosnett, and we sold it and moved to smaller quarters.
Now, your son went to the same elementary school as you did then.
Yes.
And
he went to Taylor Alderdice and was the first student from Taylor Alderdice who ever went to Brown University. He's a graduate of Brown.
That's unusual, isn't it? Yes. What was his line of study?
Just general academic. Mm-hmm. He majored in history.
Mm-hmm. Now, your social life as a young married woman, of course, it was curtailed, I'm sure.
It was curtailed in part, yes. For a long time. When you can't do what other people can do, they quickly forget, and a lot of people did. Some of our friends were very staunch and still are good friends, but some of them drifted away. However, we were very fortunate. We made other good friends and always had a very devoted circle of friends. Many of them are still, those who are still around are still friends.
As far as vacations, as a family, did you
At first, after his accident, we couldn't do much of that sort of thing. But as soon as Albert was able to do things, we did. We did. We would go away for vacations and that.
I should have asked you before, did you travel with your parents before you were married?
Well, to an extent, yes. You know, travel wasn't the important thing then that it is now.
It was very difficult.
It was difficult, and it, there were the fabulously wealthy people would go to Europe or go here or there, but there wasn't nearly as much of that as there is now. We would always go on a summer vacation. And sometimes it would be a trip, and sometimes it would be to go to, Atlantic City was the place at that time, and my father loved it, so wherever we went, we'd end up in Atlantic City. But, and they would take trips to New York here or there when it was convenient for them.
And then when George was growing up,
we tried to take trips that we could take him along.
You maintained your relationship with Rhoda Schong when George was growing up?
Oh, yes, George is a confirmed Rhoda Schong. Albert was a confirmed Rhoda Schong. You're a fall.
Then the Davis family was affiliated with Rhoda Schong?
Oh, yes. Mrs. Davis,
Mrs. Barnett Davis.
Mrs. Barnett Davis founded B'nai Israel, she and her husband. But the children went to the...
isn't that interesting?
Rhoda of Shalom Sabbath School.
That's very interesting. Can you tell...
The younger ones. I don't think the oldest ones did, but the younger ones.
Well, the Barnett Davises, I guess, stayed at B'nai Israel, did they not?
She was a member of both congregations. She was always a member of the temple.
Very interesting. Did you pursue any hobbies? Did you have time to pursue any hobbies when you were...
Well, I always did a lot of community work.
Can we get into those then?
What
did you do?
Probably chiefly interested in the council. I was financial secretary of the council. Not financial. I was recording secretary of the council before I was out of college. And then I went on, I afterwards was financial secretary. I was editor of the Bulletin, chairman of the Plan and Scope Committee, which the job was to oversee all of the committees in the town. I was chairman of the Social Service Committee when the Service to the Foreign Born was finding places for the people coming over after the war. And when it was then called Council House, it's now Anathan House, when that was founded, that I was chairman of the Social Service Department at that time, chairman of the Rules Committee, and offered every vice presidency that they had to offer, but I never accepted any because I have always felt that you don't accept a vice presidency if you wouldn't be willing, if you were wanted as president, to accept it. And at no time did I ever want to be president, so I never accepted a vice presidency.
We're interested in your other organizational commitments, too.
All right. When I was a youngster, Dr. Levy started what was called the Junior. And I was, I forgot when I was telling about council, I started the councilettes for them. The temple had this junior federation And I was very active in that. I was an officer in that.
What was that? Federation of other...
It was a junior branch of the Federation of Jewish Philanthropies, which is now the... UJF. Yes. Grew out of the Federation of Jewish Philanthropies.
I see. And this was while you were still...
Before
you were even a confirmant.
Oh, yes, yes.
And this involved other teenagers, other young people?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Was there any other community involvement you can tell us about?
I would always help with things. We would, at that time, there was something called the Milk and Ice Fund. And I remember one time, another girl and myself organized a lawn fete, and the money we made went to the Milk and Ice Fund, and we raised quite a lot of money for it. And we used to do things like
that. Now, this Milk and Ice Fund, was that for the underprivileged to get milk in school, or just to get...
I think it was in the homes well. I think so. And whatever there was that... needed, children could take a part in, I always took a part in. I was always interested.
Were there any other organizations that you were interested in beside council when you were a young adult?
The Blind Association used to have what they called the Week for the Blind. It would be a Jewish Day, a Catholic Day, and Protestant Day, and they would raise a lot of money for the blind, sell their produce, and then they would have a tea room where people could eat and to make money, and it all went to the blind. And they had it for 2 years, and I was quite a young girl, and they were looking for a chairman for the Jewish Day, and they called Mrs. Freund, who was at that time president of the council, and asked who she would suggest, and she said that she thought that I could handle it very well. But when I went to the first meeting and they saw this young girl coming, I was already married, but I still was quite young. I think they were ready to throw up their hands in dismay. But we had a marvelous day. We brought in more money than the other 2 days combined. And it was through us, Mrs. Eugene Friedlander, who was the mother of Mrs. Harold Block, was my chairman of sales, and we introduced something that they had never had, and that was selling the articles of the blind to the different stores, and it's continued ever since then.
That's a very good service.
It was.
To the blind,
it
yes.
was. Mm-hmm. And let me think. Oh, I guess I did other things too. Yes.
Any of the other organizations?
Oh, I've been on the board of the Sisterhood, and I've been on the board of the Y. I got on the board of the Y because they used to have what was called a Purim Carnival, and I was asked to take charge. I think the second or third year of that I was asked to take charge of that, and did, and that was such a success that they asked me to be on the board. So I was on the board of the Y, I was on the board of the Save Sisterhood, I've been on the board of the Ladies Hospital.
I was going to say, did you ever ask?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That was after I married Dr. Goldstein.
Now, you moved from Beechwood Boulevard But you stayed in the same area?
We moved to Murdoch Farms, to Bell Rock Street.
Now, that area was similar, was it not, to the area, I'm talking about economically, culturally, or politically, similar to the area that you lived in before?
Yes, I would say that that Murdoch Farms is one of the nicest.
And
still
even,
is
yes,
one
now,
of the
I
nicest
say, now,
we, residential areas.
If we were to compare
areas,
it to
was,
today with it was it was then, we're, it's really a very similar kind of comparison, is it not?
Yes.
How old was George when you moved to Bell Rock Street?
George had just graduated from from high school and was going away to college.
Well, were you ever interested in politics?
Yes, I've always been interested in politics. As a matter of interest, I haven't always worked politically, although I have recently. I worked very hard. Well, at the time that Richard Nixon was running for president, I worked very hard at Republican headquarters. And then when President Reagan was running, I worked very, very hard.
Have you always been a Republican?
No, I've changed my registration so many times that when I'd walk in, they'd call me by my first name. Because I think when you're going to be voting and thinking along certain lines, you register that way. No, I have voted, I guess, just as many times Democratic as Republican. But I don't recall ever having worked for a Democrat. I remember one time when Franklin Roosevelt was running for president. I guess it was his third time. And George was he was in Lyndon School at the time, and very excited about Roosevelt and very, very much interested. And he had bands on his teeth for having them straightened. He had to go into town frequently, and every time he would go into town, he would stop at Democratic headquarters and get the buttons. At that time, they were bringing out a lot of buttons, and he'd get the buttons, and he had certain people that he distributed them to. So he really worked. And then when it came time for election, his father and I were definite that we were voting for Roosevelt. My mother couldn't quite make up her mind. One time she was going to vote. One day she was going to vote for Roosevelt, and the next day she was going to vote for Wilkie, and it went on that way. The day before election, she was going to vote for Roosevelt. So before George went to bed that night, he said, don't go, he always liked to go to the polls with her, don't go until I get home from school, because I like to go. And he said, oh no, we wouldn't. So he came home from school, and then we all went over to the fire engine house to vote. And we walk in, it was the first time that there had been machines in that polling place. So my mother said, oh my goodness, I won't know how to use this. So George said, oh, Nano, I'll show you. They taught us in school. So he goes inside with her, and he said, curtain closed, and he said, now you push this, and you push this button, and you voted. Oh, she's fine. Now I'm going to vote for Wilkie. He said, you can't. You've already voted for Roosevelt. I think it's a priceless story.
How old was he?
Maybe 9 or something that way. 10 maybe.
Oh,
I don't know.
That's
a priceless story.
you know, as I say, I don't know why I never, well, I, for years I didn't have time, and then I guess I didn't have strength, or I didn't feel I was needed. But I worked very hard for the rest of it. It was very interesting. They didn't give out many buttons, if you recall. And but I asked for one. I had quite a good size one. I was going to New York, which I wore all the time around here. I, 2 days, I voted absentee ballot because I was going to New York 2 days before.